Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, Spiritual Talk, Healing Done Right, Spiritual Growth, 12-Step Indigo Meditation, and much, much more, hosted by Duchess and Jules.
Yeah, buddy. Hosted by Duchess and Jules. I sure missed her. But she's not with us. Not today. How's everyone doing? I'm doing great. It's been a wonderful 2 weeks. I mean, so exciting. I've done so much in the last 2 weeks. I mean, I started reading this book. It's called Becoming Supernatural. And it is a powerful experience. Now, if I sound like I'm talking through a tunnel, it's because I didn't charge up my regular microphone. Shame, shame, shame on me. So I had to go back to this one, and hopefully you'll get some clear reception. I won't know until the show is over. So if you're not getting clear reception, I am so, so sorry. But I can see I have a hot mic. So that means I am broadcasting. The mic is not dark. And so we'll see what happens. I promised you last show that I would talk to you about my experience with my mentorship, psychic mentorship 2020 with Uma. Remember I talked to you about Uma? Well, I learned some wonderful things about myself this past weekend at Uma's workshop. One of the things that I learned was that I always knew I was an empath. I've been doing that for years, years and years and years. But I also channel. I thought that I did, but I wasn't sure that I did until yesterday. I thought that's what it was that I did, because there are times when I can just do remote writing and I'm writing and I'm writing and things are coming through and I'm putting them down on paper, and sometimes I'll read something that I wrote maybe a year ago and I'll say, how did I write that? Where did that come from? So it's an experience. It's an experience that we go through and we don't realize that we're doing it until, like I say, we realize that that's what we've been doing. So I learned that. And I also, we were also taught how to use our dowsing rods. The dowsing rods are fascinating. At one time, I did make some dowsing rods by reading the book E-Squared, by Pam Grout. That's a good book if you really want to study the energy that you have and how your mind and your own energy really, honestly, and truly can create your reality and show you how things are so powerful for use of your own energy. And that's what E squared is. It's called Energy Squared, but the book is entitled E-Squared. And it's fascinating to see that when you summon things to manifest, they in fact manifest. So that was wonderful. And I saw a couple of people that I knew that had joined the group, and that was a nice experience, knowing that I have all of my friends out there that are coming and they're surrounding me during this time. I have a birthday tomorrow, so I'm celebrating my birthday with the presidents tomorrow. So that means that my birthday is holiday this year, and I'm thrilled about that. Excuse me, I'm still doing this clearing of my my throat thing. I've been taking a lot of vitamin C and echinacea and all kinds of good stuff to ward off anything that wants to catch me, because I have no intentions of catching something else or anything. Why don't we get our show started and do a little bit of talking about
Lena Stevens, and basically what we started last show, we talked about this month, February, being the month entitled Management. That was in her forecast for February, Management. And how have you been managing things out there? Have they been difficult? Have they been easy? One of the important areas of management is around distractions. How have you been handling distractions? Have you been having some energy leaks? Have you been able to put some boundaries in place to secure your space, especially around, you know, those practices and habits that are detrimental to your balance of energy? And when we talk about balance of energy, we're going to get into that a little bit more in depth when we do our chakra attunement. Doing that chakra attunement is going to be an interesting fact, because I promised you that also last year. We went through the chakras and what the chakras were all about and what the blocks were of each chakra and what happens when that particular chakra is blocked. So this also includes the distraction of other people's drama or their attachment to where they perceive your focus should be. You know how people just make you think that you're supposed to do this for them and, you know, mommy this, mommy that, or you have a spouse that thinks that what they need is more important than thinking about what you need, or you're thinking that what they need is more important than what you need. It can work both ways. Probably the most difficult practice is to say no. Saying no to someone that you have been enabling or carrying the burden for. I've been doing that a lot lately. I carry the burden for family members at times, and there are times when they look to me for me to initiate a particular thing that needs being done. And I have to say, no, I'm not going to do it, because if I continue to say yes, I found that I have no space in my life to do something that I need for me. Or I can't even get out of my house because I'm so busily tied to the computer for someone else's needs. And there are things that I need to be tied to the computer for myself. And this happens a lot in families, and it happens a lot in close relationships. It even happens a lot when you're at work in your work partnership. Sometimes it may be a fact of true karma. Sometimes we're attached to certain individuals, or we're attached. We've made an agreement, a psychic agreement to be responsible or attached to these people. But most of the time, it is unnecessary and can even block another's freedom to choose. Because if you're so busy doing things for them, how can they have the freedom to learn or to do things for themselves? You know, once another gets used to you your enabling behavior, it takes more effort on your part to cut it off. You know, someone gets so used to you being responsible for something, like you setting up different things that require passwords and such for them. How can you turn this over to them if you don't trust them to be able to handle their own affairs? So a huge distraction is falling into old habits and patterns of behavior that you are familiar with in an attempt to quiet the instinctive center that always gets a little freaked out when the push comes for you to change. Excuse me. Now, the survival mechanism is to go back to what it knows and is familiar with, even though it is an old energy, an old news. You know, it's like it's so much easier for me to just go ahead and do it than for me to teach you how to do it for yourself. I have that a lot with one of my my children. Well, one of my children, that child. Well, he's the computer wizard,
And I realized that when it comes to teaching me how to do something on my own, he'll say, oh, forget it, Ma, I'll just do it, you know, like, or you can hear the frustration in his voice as he's trying to teach me step by step, not in person, not face to face, over the phone, how to do something. It would be so much easier if you wrote it down step by step for me to follow. And then I copy it. And then I'll have that in the drawer, so when I need it again, I'll just know how to do it again. So some of these folks, they just want to do it for you. And that's the same kind of problem we get into. That survival mechanism just kicks in and says, okay, let me just do it for them. Now, if you find yourself doing the same old thing as a distraction, become aware and conscious of it and use some discipline to be proactive about refocusing your actions. You know, managing your body and its needs, as well as managing the balance between your inner and outer life, your social and alone time, your spiritual practices, and your day-to-day responsibilities, and the energy required to feed a new project or direction are all to be considered this month, because Lena said so. Okay? So, if at any time you feel overwhelmed, Lena has given us a list of questions that we can ask ourselves, okay? And this is a way to organize the management of what is on our plate. What is our priority? And what are the distractions that's causing us to step out of the management zone? Okay, so what she says is, here's a list. And I like this list, so I'm going to share this list with you. What is my priority today, and why is it my priority? Does it make me happy or satisfied? Is it an important step or responsibility towards an authentic goal? What can wait until tomorrow? What can I delegate? What can I give somebody else to do? What move? And which person would do it best? Where am I distracted? What am I doing for myself today for self-care? And what is necessary or unnecessary? So let's think about, where am I being pressured, and is it my responsibility? Where is the pressure coming from? Within or from the outside? What am I avoiding and why? What am I afraid of? What do I still need to complete, eliminate, or clear out that is either a distraction or no longer serves me? Do I feel balanced? What is not being fed? What practices have I done today to help in my balance of inner and outer life? Where have I wasted time? What can I do today to raise my vibration and bring joy and beauty into my life? Now, that's a good one. You know, what can I do today to raise my vibration and bring joy and beauty into my life? I love that one. I have these songs that I've been playing lately, and they just kind of bring out the sunshine inside of me and have me bouncing and with joy while I'm sitting in the chair or while I'm driving, you know, and I'm just feeling all good, 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 ooey and gooey inside. So she says that you might want to keep an inventory of your answers and This map of questions will give you much clarity and help you to create a good management plan for what's new. And you'll know what's old, and you'll know what needs to change, and what has changed, and what is in transition, and what is part of your inner life, and what is part of your outer life. Fascinating. Fascinating, fascinating. So we want to see what Lena says is showing up in your life today, because we didn't get through all of that in the last show because I had other things that I wanted to share with you, and I didn't do a lot of Lena, but I'm giving you the final part of February that Lena shared with me. On this month of February, like we said, it's all about the personal. If you are not managing your personal life well, there is no way you will manage anything else well. And that is a fact. You can look around your whole space, the space that you're sitting in right now, and see how manageable it is or how unmanaged it is. And as I look around this office and this studio, and I got a lot of clutter all over the place, well, I know that I am so totally unmanaged that I really need to get myself to work in. But the theme of self-care is with us this year, and managing that self-care may take discipline, especially for those of you that tend to put yourselves last. So with that said, I guess I'm going to be doing some self-care management. And I'm going to say, in part, the heck with the dishes in the sink. The heck with the office and the papers all over the place. I need to figure out what I'm going to do to make me healthy. Okay? And the board is lighting up. It's a wonderful thing. And I want to say I hope everyone is able to hear me, because I did not charge up my regular microphone. So if I sound like I'm talking to a tunnel of sorts, it's because I got another microphone, and who knows, maybe this one will prove to be better. The other part of self-discipline is disciplining and having good boundaries around your personal time, taking care of your health and well-being, all right? The physical body is like a barometer of sorts, and it needs some attention. And I have not been giving my physical body any attention. Stress is also a marker of what needs to be managed more practically. If you are overworked, worried about issues that are not yours to fix, your well-being will definitely suffer. So instead of self-judgment, use the opportunity to organize the management of your health in a better way. One of the things that I find that hinders me a lot is that I tend to have my perception of self affect my health and well-being at times. And this happens because sometimes I have this self-talk in my head about what's going on and how I feel about myself, or the perception of myself when I look in the mirror and how I'm tired and I can't do certain things. So, can I have better health? Do I deserve better well-being? Do I have a tendency to sabotage opportunities for healing and improvement? Of course I do. Yes, I do. I have a friend that says she'll come and pick me up and we'll go and walk around the super giant Walmart for 30 minutes, three times a week. It's too cold out there for me to want to even put on clothes and go outside my door. Is that a sabotage? I think so. It's too cold for me to go to the pool and do some exercises in the pool with the senior citizens because it's wintertime and I'm not getting out of that water and walking outside in all that cold air. Nope, you're not giving me pneumonia. So, yeah, I sabotage, but then I have this 80-year-old friend. She goes over there and she gets in the pool and she gets out and she, you know, it's like I love her. I love her.
I told her the other day, I am so proud of you. And I had to laugh because I really am proud of her. She just sticks to it. So I'm going to go and register for the month of March and April and May. Now it'll be moving into springtime. I'll go back to the pool. But it's an auxiliary pool, and it's warm water pool, and it's really fun getting together with the other seniors. I used to say, they used to call them blue-haired ladies, but I'm not going to dye my hair blue to be part of the blue-haired lady club. But so it behooves us to be present as much as we can and practice neutrality around any health issues. We need to have compassion for the body and give it what it needs despite any judgments from our personality. This is something I really must learn. Challenges this month will mostly be around feeling overwhelmed, scattered, out of sorts, exhausted one day, inspired, and energetic the next. I'm going to teach you all how to balance your chakras so you can be more energetic this month and for the rest of your life. Watch the adrenals. And when we start balancing the chakras, we're going to be with the lower life, the survival chakras. Those are the first three chakras. And that that chakra down there, the three down below, the first three, I'm sorry, what they do is they govern the adrenals, the digestion, and tension. Okay, so you got to watch out for that. And then you got to watch out for tension around your jaw and your eyes and your face. Because those are the ones that up in there, those tensions give you the stress lines. And some of us tend to look older than we are because we're so doggone stressed out, you know. Now, when we talk about management, we also need to talk about managing the environment. And this boils down to managing our own environment, not the outside environment, because there's really not too much we can do in the outside environment. But if we manage what's close to us, it automatically causes a shift in the management of those things that we have no control over. So we need to be willing to reconfigure plans without wasting time and energy and resistance to change that may be, weather-related or beyond our control. Sometimes we'll have something that switches up in our life and causes a shift, and we've got to shift, and rather than fighting it, especially if it's something that's beyond our control, no sense in getting grumpy, ugly, and nasty, and offended by it. If we can't fix it, change it, or make it better, then we just need to go along with the program and make sure that we don't allow that to happen again, or we just change our energy, and it won't happen again. So we have to, you know, like anger, disappointment, frustration, aggression, despair. These are all negative vibrations that will never create anything good. So focus instead on hope, love, and the endless creative potential for the collective to manifest a positive future. You know the collective, that's that collective energy, that's that collective divine energy. So there's no need to know how, just hold the intention from a place of neutrality. So you don't need to know how you're going to do it because the collective knows how it's going to get done, and you just say, this is my intention and this is what I intend, and turn it over to your higher power, and all things that you receive are meant to be received. Okay, the personal environment can be more easily and tangibly managed if we do it this way. Okay, we are still in the inspired space of clearing and releasing stuff. And you'll also learn that when we do our chakra attunement, of releasing stuff. And it's much more simpler. In life, when we just take things, you know, like acceptance, turn it over. You can also learn how to delegate what you can, release what you can, simplify what you can. Surround yourself with people that are simpler to be around and make sure that your environment works in ways that supports you without effort. Now, before we move on, we have a little bit more time here. I want to share what Lena said about February 15th to the 21st. She said things may be getting a little bit squirrely now during this time, and you may have a challenge with your discernment around what is yours and what is not. There are good lessons around boundaries and good lessons around taking the courage to switch paths when you find yourself starting down the wrong one. It is better to say, oops, I made a mistake, sorry, not doing that, than stubbornly persevering in the wrong situation just to save face or to be right. You will be tested during this time to pay attention to what is yours, what is not yours, your distractions, energy leaks, what is on your plate, what you said yes to, and what you were saying no to. Step up to your responsibilities, but don't take on unnecessary burdens. Some of the tests may come as delays to projects you were so sure you had a green light. Be patient. If some areas of your life are not moving quickly or delayed, please focus on something else. You know, good management always includes being able to shift gears when necessary, to work with what is in front of you rather than being too attached to a previous plan. Lena goes on to say that in the second week of February, the third week, that's the 22nd to the 29th, she explains that this is a leap year, so we have an extra day in February. We are able to, did you know that this is Sadie Hawkins' month? Where women go out and they used to go and ask men to marry them on the 29th. Okay? During that time, we are able to review some of what has solidified as part of good inner and outer management, as well as what has not survived the gauntlet of chaos, indecision, and overwhelm. Although the times seem a bit more settled, there is still great amounts of movement, growth, evolution, and change. Do not underestimate the seemingly quieter times. There is a lot happening under the surface. So we have to beware of getting lulled into apathy and be careful not to fall asleep, just that mental sleep. This is where you need to continue being vigilant, conscious, awake, and present. If you are not managing your life, someone or something else will step in to manage it for you, and you could lose control over how you wish things to unfold. So stay awake. All righty? Enjoy your life. Enjoy your friends. Stay in humor. And continue looking forward. Now, on the 23rd of this month, we have a new moon. And so we'll talk more about, we can't talk more about this because we won't be back together until the first week of March. So for what you have been waiting for, let's unlock those chakras. Let's unblock them. Got a lot of folks on blocking chakras. You know, I've been reading this book, once again, Becoming Supernatural, and I love this guy. I love this guy because I have been putting my life into perspective, because one of the things that I love about him is how he shows us how to stay out of what's called the familiar path. And so many people, all they do is ruminate and think about all that crap that has been going on in the past or happened in the past, or somebody said this in the past and somebody did this in the past, over and over and over and over and over again. And when you do that, you have no time to spend and enjoy your life in the present. Because you're constantly living in your familiar past over and over and over and over again. And if you're always living in the familiar past, then you cannot create an unpredictable future. Your future is being predicted by you by thinking about the past over and over and over again in the present moment, which will cause you to create the future the same as you've always created it, because you're not giving the future anything new to think about because you're living in the familiar past constantly. And he gave an example of that, how you live in the familiar past every single morning when you get up, you wake up, whatever it is you do. Some of us wake up, we say a prayer. Some of us wake up, we meditate, we go to the bathroom, we got to go potty first. And some of us, we walk to the kitchen and we put on the coffee and then we come back. In my case, I sit down, you look at your phone to see if there's any messages, and then you take a shower, and you're doing the same thing over and over again every single day. You don't change it. So your body becomes the mind because you don't even have to think about this stuff anymore. The body gets up and does the same thing every day that you've already done. And you're doing what you did yesterday in your present today. So you already know that what you're going to do is create a future of the same thing because you ain't did nothing new today or thought about nothing different to do today. I loved it. So I decided that when I'm in my car and I start thinking about BS, the past, I'm going to look at the blue sky. I'm going to short circuit that thought immediately, look at the blue sky, look at the lady crossing the street in the red coat. I'm going to look at the grass alongside of the road. I'm going to see if I can count how many birds flew by. I'm just going to short circuit the thought. If I think of a thought that's going to make me sad and I start feeling a tear in my eye and I catch it, I'm going to think of something else. That continues to short circuit my thought into not thinking the depressing thought over and over and over again. Because you see, when you live in the familiar past and you keep bringing this stuff up, especially stuff that has created emotions in you in the past, your brain does not know whether or not this is a memory or you're actually going through the process again. So the brain conjures up the same old familiar stuff. You get that misery in the gut of your stomach. You know, you get sick to your stomach. You start perspiring. You start acting as though the incident is happening for real again. Okay? And what this guy is saying, that those emotions, those survival emotions, you know, like flight or fright, those anger, despair, pissed off, all of those types of emotions get stored in the first three chakras. Those are your survival chakras, okay? So you have the root chakra, which we talked about as the red chakra. When it is blocked, a variety of ailments can occur from blockage, including anxiety disorders, fears, nightmares, you know, these types of things, you know. And this chakra correlates with your colon, the bladder, your elimination process, the lower back, or your feet issues, okay? Oh, and don't forget leg issues. So you got all of this pent up blocked energy, miserable energy locked into this chakra, and it's causing all kinds of havoc with your tissues. Remember, emotion, that's energy in motion, where the mind flows, energy, where the mind goes, energy flows, okay? So what you want to do is you want to do some chakra realignment and attunement in those chakras. In your sacral chakra, that's the one that's just above the that's between the root chakra and the sacral chakra. So it's there near the stomach area. That's your chakra, your sacral chakra. All right, this chakra. Ooh, when it's blocked, we're talking about you got instability, you have some emotional issues, you're feeling uninspired. This is your creative chakra, and so we want to unblock that. This chakra, while it's also potentially experiencing fear of change, depression, addiction-like behaviors, you know, whether it's sex addiction, food, whether it's drugs, it's alcohol, but this is the chakra where all of that's happening and you want to unblock that one, okay? Then you have your solar plexus chakra, abandonment issues. Oh, my. You know, this chakra, you want to unblock that because it can lead you to outwardly express apathy, procrastination, or you're able to be taken advantage of easily, and you feel that way. Okay, so what do we want for these three chakras? We want the red chakra. We want manifestation. We want prosperity. We want foundation. We want safety. We want support. We want trust. We want connection to Mother Earth. We want security. We want courage. We want creativity for the sacral chakra. We want that's the clairsentience. Clairsentience, remember when we studied the clairs? Clairsentience is clear feeling. We want, that's your sexuality, your emotional intelligence, your assimilation to new ideas, flexibility, relating, and you want to relate to others. Then you have your solar plexus chakra. That's where you have your personal power, your self-esteem, your authority, your energy master. That's your clear cognition. That's clear knowing. That's awakening. That's your transformation. Now we're going to work with these three chakras right now. Okay? When you're in a meditative state and you're laying in your bed and you want to clear your root chakra, you want to close your eyes and you want to imagine, just imagine that you see a nice pool of water, nice cool calming lake surrounding that particular chakra. You can even color that lake red if you want to, the color of the chakra. And you have a little pebble, a little divine pebble that you're going to drop into that pool of water to awaken that chakra. And you're going to drop that pebble in, and the first pebble that you drop in, you're going to say, this is flexibility. Ding! You're going to drop it, and you're going to see it ripple out. The next pebble you're going to drop into that nice little pool is going to be the pebble of transformation. Bing! And it's going to ripple out. And the next one that you're going to drop in to that chakra pool of energy is coherence. Ding. And then you're going to drop a pebble of stability. Ding. And watch it ripple out. And imagine it clearing, and putting nice, clear energy in that space. For your sacral chakra, the sacral chakra is orange. You're going to do the same thing. The sacral chakra is between the solar plexus chakra and the root chakra. Now, solar plexus chakra is directly underneath where the navel is. So the sacral chakra is somewhere right in there. Here's your pool, orange. Here's your pebble, purity. Watch it ripple. Nourishment. watch it ripple. Charm, watch it ripple. Emerging, merging, watch it ripple. That's your sacral chakra. Okay, moving right along up to the third chakra, the solar plexus chakra. You know, abandonment issues, betrayal issues. Well, we got to clear all that out of there. Because once all those things happen to you, that's exactly where those emotions got locked in. So let's clear them out. Solar plexus. Yellow. Here's your first pebble. Your first pebble. Desire. Intention. Will. Destiny. And watch each one of those pebbles drop into that nice lake surrounding the solar plexus area, and watch them ripple, ripple, ripple out. Those three chakras are your survival chakras. The three lower chakras are the survival chakras. Your upper chakras are your manifestation and divine chakras. After your third chakra, you want to go to your heart chakra. But let's talk about the four chakras above, starting with the heart chakra. The heart chakra, if that chakra is blocked, you have issues that coincide with your throat, your thyroid issues, neck and shoulder stiffness, or tension, headaches. When that chakra is blocked, you fear judgment from others. It's hard to pay attention and stay focused. The throat chakra, and I meant to give you the heart chakra first. The heart chakra, sorry. Scratch that. Heart chakra. When that chakra is having issues, that's the thymus gland, that's the lungs, that's the breast. You know, and it's physical and spiritual discord at the heart chakra. Chest represents the physical and spiritual discord if your heart chakra is blocked. What you want is divine love, unconditional love, clear sentience, that's the clear of feeling, animal communication, and acceptance. That's your heart chakra. Like we said, your throat chakra, that's blue, and that's your communication, your creative expression, truth, clear audience. Now, when it says clear audience, that means clear hearing, and not necessarily hearing verbally, but you can, you know, you get clear messages. That's your channeling chakra. That's your soul purpose chakra. That's your connection with the etheric realm. Then you have your third eye chakra or the indigo chakra, and when that's blocked, you have a whole lot of it's right there in the center of the head and the brow. And what you want with that chakra is you want clarity, you want clairvoyance, you want intuition. You want to unblock that chakra and make sure that it's operating and vibrating nicely, because that's your insight chakra. That's your psychic awareness. Excuse me, that's also your healing chakra. That's your soul realization chakra. Okay, and you want a clear picture of life in all things. that are around. Now, when it's blocked, you may have trouble accessing your intuition, trusting your inner voice, recalling important factors, or learning new skills, okay? And that blockage, it causes a lot of things, headache, dizziness, and a slew of other brain health issues. The seventh chakra is your crown chakra at the top of the head, and you want to unblock this chakra. A crown chakra blockage may create feelings of isolation or emotional distress, basically feeling disconnected from everyone and everything, okay? It keeps you from being connected the way you'd like to spiritually. Unblocking this chakra gives you clear cognition, meaning clear knowing. It's unity with your higher self, connection to source energy, channeling, inspiration, divine wisdom, and limitlessness. So let's see about fine-tuning those four chakras. Tuning. The heart chakra, green. Close your eyes and look right there in the center of, imagine looking in the center of the chest where that energy lies. In the first pebble that you drop into the pool for the heart chakra, attunement, pebble, peace, and watch it ripple, ripple. Harmony. Drop that pebble and watch it ripple in the lake of the heart chakra. Laughter. What is life without laughter? Last pebble. Love. Now we move to the throat chakra. That chakra is blue. You want to clear the throat chakra. Get your leg. See your leg. Your first pebble for the throat chakra is creativity. Drop it there and watch it ripple, the ripple effect. Your next pebble, affluence. Watch it flow. Then abundance. Watch it spread. Abundance. And discernment. Then we move to the third eye chakra, indigo. Once you've located and you've locked in to the energy of your third eye chakra, your first pebble is integration. The next one is truth. The third one is unbounded. And your fourth pebble is knowingness. Then we move to your crown chakra, which is located at the top of the head. Your crown chakra is violet. Did I tell you your third eye chakra was indigo? If I didn't, that's the color it is. Your crown chakra is violet. Here you go. You have it. Your first pebble, infinity. The next level, immortality, your third level, holiness, and your last level is enlightenment. Now the book that I'm reading, Becoming Supernatural, he talks about an energy source that's like, say, inches above the head. And he calls that the eighth energy point. And that's your connection to all, the all in creation. Okay. One of the things that I enjoy about his book is he shows us how we take the energy of the three lower chakras where that energy is locked. He says, and when we hold our breath and then we squeeze each one of those chakra points, he says, what we do is we put our hands at the top of our head. And what we begin to do if we practice this is cause energy that's locked in the lower three chakras to move upward so that it can flood and give more energy to the upper four chakras. And I thought that was a fascinating experiment. And it shows that when you're able to do this, and you practice this, you begin to know that the three lower chakras are waking up, opening up, and they're releasing that locked-in energy to the upper chakras and feeding more awareness to you. You become more aware, more vibrant, you know, more alive. And you don't stay in the past, because so many times that's all we do is talk about what happened yesterday and the day before and a year ago. I mean, it's okay to talk about what happened yesterday, but don't talk about what happened yesterday if what you talked about yesterday happened a year ago. So you're talking about the same stuff over and over and over and over again, and you're never, ever, ever unlocking yourself out of what he calls the familiar path. Stop it. Because as long as you bring the familiar path into your current now, you will never have a different future. It's impossible, because all you're doing is growing the same old stuff from yesterday today so it can create tomorrow. You know? Okay, with that, let's find a card for you. Before we close the show, we got to find a card. Okay. Somebody out there, think about what you need to hear. And I'm going to sit here and I'm just going to hold this deck for a minute or two. Think about something. And I'm just going to pull something. And this message is going to be for somebody, because I'm loving everybody. You ready, somebody? Everybody? Ooh. We got a card that says, this is the fairy deck. And the fairies are saying, stop trying so hard to control everything and all the doors will open for you. Somebody out there should have listened to the beginning of the show about managing and staying on their side of the street and staying in their own spot and stop dipping over and trying to control other stuff. Once again, fairies say easy does it. Stop trying so hard to control everything and all the doors will open for you. Just as the dolphin rides the waves with joy and ease, so will the waves of your life carry you if you'll just relax and let everything flow. This card was drawn because you've been trying to force something to happen, and the underlying fear has created blocks and barriers for you. What you need to do is take some time to go outside in nature to help you relax. Let go of that situation and watch how quickly everything you desire occurs. Additional meanings for this card: you need to relax and have faith. You need to find some place to go and play. You need to connect with the dolphins. Now, I don't know if you got dolphins where you live, but I don't have any of those around me. Oh, you need to take a sea salt bath. You need to go for a swim. You need to get out of your own way. Now, they mentioned taking a sea salt bath, and we have enough time for me to give you all a recipe for a shaman's bath. Shaman's bath, you can put some bubbles in the water if you want. But in addition to the bubbles that you put in the water for you to relax in, you need a quarter cup of baking soda. You need a quarter cup of sea salt. And you need 10 drops of essential oil. You want sage, pure sage essential oil. Ooh. Light a candle. Sit in the tub in the dark and relax. And enjoy the warmth and the aroma of the sage wafting up into your nostrils as you enjoy your bath, your warm shaman's bath. You take this bath just before going to bed. That's the best time. You can take it any time, but the best time is just before you go to bed. Imagine all of your issues and problems being washed away in the water. Then stand up, drain the tub as you turn on the shower, and let the shower rinse you down and wash all your stress away. Then go to bed and enjoy life and wake up. And if you wake up the next day and you start thinking about all that you have to do, or all that went on yesterday, short circuit that thought and think something pleasant. You know, say a prayer in your head as you go about your morning. Say it constantly. Every time you think of something that happened that's going to cause you angst, that's going to cause you frustration, that's going to cause you a knot in the pit of your stomach, that's going to cause a tear to roll down your eye, you think of something pleasant. One of my favorite thoughts is when I looked at one of my newborn children. When I looked at one of my newborn babies, it brings a smile to my face when I see and imagine me touching the little tiny lips. They purse their little tiny lips, and they look at me because they love me. And I love that thought because it brings a big smile to my face instead of a tear to my eye. So you try that. There's a lot of things you can think about to short circuit that familiar thought that comes into your mind that gets locked into some energy form in one of your survival chakras. Because where the mind goes, energy flows. And our issues are always locked in our tissues. You have a blessed day. Have a good night. This is Duchess signing off, and I pray you'll be here next month with me. Thank you. Stay blessed. Love you good. Night-night.